Grace to you all and peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I have some bad news and I have some good news for you. The bad news is that this will be the last sermon I ever preach here at Mount Olivet because the good news is I just won the Powerball. Okay, good, phew. When did you realize I was joking? It is important to me that every single person in this room understands that I'm joking, and for those of you who were here for the fake capital campaign fiasco from my Reformation Day sermon, you will understand why. I think you all see that this is a joke, and that's good. When did you realize? Of course it's preposterous. I'll never leave here. I legally changed my middle name to Mount Olivet, and if I won the lottery, I'd still work here for free and just arrive in a slightly nicer Subaru. But I bet you believed the bad news, at least for a moment, for a heartbeat, until you heard the good news, right? And then you realized the whole thing was absurd. That's how our brains tend to work as humans. We are hardwired to trust bad news and to be skeptical of good news. We've all heard the saying, it's too good to be true. None of you have ever heard, it's too bad to be true. That saying doesn't exist. Instead, we might say, well, it can always get worse. Humans are bad news creatures, and this is a bad news world. Look at every headline and ticker on every cable news channel. Look at the last 10 stories shared on social media from your favorite news sources. We have a bizarre appetite for bad news, and the world recognizes and feeds and fosters that. This is the Good Friday versus Easter experience. Hey, did you hear? They crucified him. He's dead. Oh, well, of course he is. We should have known. Why did we get our hopes up? There's no way he was going to be the Messiah. Oh, wait, we're just hearing reports now. The tomb is empty and he is risen. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'd have to see him myself. I want to touch his hands and feel the holes the nails made for myself. We get Good Friday. The crucifixion, death, disappointment. That's the world we live in, the air we breathe, the reality we accept. Easter is harder. And it's not just us, by the way. This is not just a modern problem. The earliest Jesus followers, Christ's own disciples, were afflicted with this same condition. Jesus tried to tell them. As early as the second chapter in John's gospel, Jesus tells his disciples, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up in 3 days." In chapter 10, he tells them again, "I have the power to lay down my life, and I have the authority to pick it up again." But in our Easter reading this morning, if you notice, we see that even the faithful Mary Magdalene, even Peter, the rock on whom Christ says he will build his church, even these two expect to find only a dead body in the tomb on the third day. They're just being realistic, right? For a bad news world, Easter feels like impossibly good news. The good news of Easter is not just that Christ triumphed over sin and death and the grave 2,000 years ago. It's that he shares that victory with you today, freely. You get the spoils of Christ's Easter victory as a pure gift. And what are those spoils? Total forgiveness, perfect grace, the promise of a life eternal shared with Christ. So what do we do with that? Impossible, unacceptable, unbelievable good news. We do something really human. We're tempted to make it a little less good, right? Well, yes, there's forgiveness, but only if you make yourself worthy of being forgiven, and most people don't. They don't, for sure. Yeah, there's grace, but you have to earn it, so is it really grace? Yes, there's life with Christ, but there's also eternal torture, and that's what you're way more likely to get. We take the divine, astonishing, good news of Easter and drag it down and make it as palatable and comprehensible as possible for our bad news brains. Let's not do that this year. This year, let's fight against our human tendencies and let the good news be good news. Let it disrupt this bad news world and turn it upside down. Let's share the good news ourselves and live this good news as if it has shaped our hearts and changed our lives. Let's live like we somehow audaciously dare to believe it, in other words. Well, how? What would that look like? It looks like coming here and regularly hearing a message from this pulpit over and over about how much and how unconditionally God loves you. Hearing over and over about the wild, free gift of grace. Hearing Jesus call you by name, just as he called Mary in today's reading and changed her life. And then it's about going back out through those doors and reflecting and extending that love to the world around you, at home, at work, at school, even in rush hour. It looks like cultivating a spiritual sense that what you have been given freely, you can share freely and abundantly. We don't need to hoard God's grace for ourselves. There is enough for our neighbors and even for our enemies. There is absolutely no need to turn the good news of Easter into bad news for anyone else. I know it's hard to believe it, but he is risen. And that is just pure good news, people. So go forth and come back and be good news people. Amen.